Okay, go back to Joshua 2. While you're turning there, I'll refresh your memory. We started a few weeks ago a series of lessons, and I don't know how long they'll go on. Probably a little while if you know how things work. And the title of the lessons is Midnight Bible Stories. Midnight being defined as dark times, the darkest of times, the hours between sunrise and sunset, sunset and sunrise in the night. Midnight times can be literal, they can be figurative, they can be spiritual, and there are several stories in the Bible, which we can title Midnight Bible Stories. We've gone over a few of these already. The story that we're going over now in Joshua 2, the majority of this story takes place at night, in a dark time. And there's a lot of spiritual lessons here for us in this study in Joshua 2. Joshua 2 talks about Rahab and the two spies. The two spies were kind of amateurs as spies, because if you read very far there in Joshua 2, you'll find that everybody in the town of Jericho knew that they were there, knew where they had went, knew what they were doing. They weren't really good secret agent men. And they are called James, messengers. That'd be probably more appropriate. But who are they messengers to? Well, Rahab. And the theme behind the story of Rahab has to do with the fact that God looks on the hearts. He doesn't look on the outward appearance. We find Rahab's name mentioned 8 times in Scripture. 5 of those 8 times, she's mentioned as the harlot Rahab. That was her job description. That was her description of who she was. 5 is a number of grace. God seeing her heart. One of the places you'll find Rahab mentioned is in Matthew. And Matthew 1. Why is she in Matthew 1? Because she's found in the lineage of Christ. Really? Yeah, really. So we see a lot here in the life of Rahab. Why this midnight time was highlighted for us. Because there was something that took place that midnight hour in the heart of Rahab. But it had been going on for a while. The Lord knew what was in her heart. And he sent the two spies to her. It didn't look like that on the surface. It probably didn't look like that to the two spies. So that kind of catches us up where we were. And Rahab's statement of faith is found in verses 9 and verse 11. Just real quickly, I'll go over that. But she says in verse 9 to the two spies, "I know the Lord hath given you the land." She was a woman of faith to know this. And in verse 11, she says, "The Lord your God is God in heaven above and in earth beneath." She knew that. She believed that in her heart. She was claiming the God of Israel as her God, as a statement of faith. So, last week, we found the word hid in our lesson. The word hid is found in Joshua 2:4. The word hid is found in Joshua 2:6. And then also in Joshua 6:17 and in Joshua 6:25, where we find further reference to Rahab, we find the word hid again. And the meaning of the word hid in verse 4 carries with it a thought of to treasure or to treasure up. She hid the two spies. She treasured them up. She hid them. We find that word that's spoken of there in Joshua 2:4. It's I can't really pronounce Hebrew very good, but if at all, but it's Tsawfan, Tsaw-Fan, and it's found 33 times in Old Testament Scripture. Anybody remember what the number 33 is? Nobody remembers, because you all dozed off during class last week. But 33 is the number of promise. Oh, yeah, that's right. Oh, yeah, I remember that now, yeah. Well, that's okay. Don't worry about it. You won't get tested for another couple more minutes. And then there's a different word in Joshua 2:6 translated hid. And that word is tall man. It's the word, that's the word hid there. And then the third word hid is in Joshua 6:17 and 25. And that word is kabah. It's the number 02244 in the Strong's Hebrew Concordance. And guess what? It's found, that word, kabah, 33 times in Scripture. Two different words translated hid are found 33 times in this story, this midnight story. And there's a promise involved with this. Now, the promise that was given to Rahab, if I can just kind of summarize it, was that because she hid the two spies, she wanted in return a promise from them that she would be saved alive, her and her household. And they, being messengers, ambassadors from God, these spies, the responsibility was given them to protect her and to save her alive. But really, as ambassadors from God, the responsibility fell upon the Lord to make this happen, right? Yeah. Okay. I wanna read you something. Go back to Deuteronomy 31. This is not in my notes at this point in time anyway. But in Deuteronomy 31:6, we read a promise from God to the children of Israel. And it says there, "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them." This is Israel on the other side of Jordan before they went into the promised land, when Moses was still leading them, and this is Moses speaking. "Be strong and of a good courage, fear not, nor be afraid of them, for the Lord thy God, he it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." This was a promise. And verse 8, "And the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee, and he will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed." Moses died. Joshua took over as leading the children of Israel. You go to Joshua, the first chapter. Go to the fifth verse. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. In Joshua 1:5, it says, and they're still on the east side of Jordan. They haven't conquered anything of the land of Canaan, which becomes Israel. It says, the Lord speaking to Joshua says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. This was a promise. This was a promise of the Lord. It's the third time we've read this promise. Okay, go to verse 9. And then the Lord's still speaking. He says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. That's a promise. Now I want you to go to Joshua 21:45. This is towards the end of the days of Joshua, after that the children of Israel have conquered the land of Canaan. Now we'll go down to we'll start in verse 43, Joshua 21:43, and here's what is noted. And the Lord gave unto Israel all the land which he sware to give unto their fathers, and they possessed it and dwelt therein, just as he had promised. Verse 44, and the Lord gave them rest round about, according to all that he sware unto their fathers, and there stood not a man of all their enemies before them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hand, just as he had promised. Verse 45, there failed not aught. Aught is, it can be figured as one. There failed not aught or one of any good thing which the Lord had spoken unto the house of Israel. All came to pass, just as he had promised. You see why this promise is kind of brought to our attention here. And another verse I'll give you a reference to is 1 Kings 8:56. I believe it's Solomon that's speaking there. 1 Kings 8:56. And it says there, blessed be the Lord that hath given rest unto his people Israel according to all that he had promised. There hath not failed one word of all his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. So, let me ask you this. Do you think the Lord wants us to believe his unfailing promises to us? Really? Yes, certainly. So, what are God's unfailing promises given to us? Us, the believers that are living in this final hour, hours of the church age. Well, last week I made reference to the promise of eternal life, which is found in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. That's a promise he's given to us. This is a promise which God promised before the world began, according to Titus 1:2. And this is a promise which is ours in Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior, according to 2 Timothy 1:1. And what did Jesus send to us? The promise of the Holy Ghost to guide us into all truth. Study Acts chapter 2 and John 16:13, plus many other scriptures. In Acts 2:32 and 33, we read this: This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. This is Peter speaking in his first sermon after he was filled with the Holy Ghost. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which ye now see and hear. What were they hearing here in Acts 2? They were men from all over the world hearing Galileans, uneducated men, speaking words of truth, words of the Lord in their own language, because they were full of the Holy Ghost. And you hear of examples of that all the time. Somebody might give a tongues message in a service. We don't understand it unless there's an interpreter. But then there's been occasions where the language they were speaking was some language that somebody here knew from their childhood, Greek or some other thing like that, and they understood it. And went and asked that person, where did you learn that? That's old Greek, you know. Well, I didn't know that. That was the Holy Ghost. Okay. In Acts 1:8, we read Jesus' last words here on earth. It's a promise he gave us. And you know these words: but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Well, I ask, like Paul did to those Ephesian disciples, have you received the promised Holy Ghost since you believed? In Acts 1:11, after a cloud received Jesus into heaven, there were two men that stood by, and they made another promise. They were in white apparel, these two men, and they said, this same Jesus, which is taken up from you into heaven, shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. That's a promise. It hasn't happened yet. But the Apostle Paul was aware of this promise and turned to 1 Thessalonians the 4th chapter, where Paul acknowledges this promise in this often quoted portion of Scripture, which I think you are all familiar with. 1 Thessalonians 4, we'll read from verse 13 through 18. I wouldn't be surprised by what we hear in the rest of today. Again, whoever speaks something about this, even in this class, or whoever preaches this morning, or whoever, if the Lord tarries, teaches or preaches tonight. But 1 Thessalonians 4:13, but I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means dead, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them which also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent, or that is, precede them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. These clouds are clouds of saints. We've talked about that in lessons past here in the Sunday school. It says, wherefore, comfort one another with these words. This is a promise. Jesus is coming again. Turn to Hebrews 13:6. Here's another promise of God in Hebrews 13:6. It might sound a little familiar because you know this, because here's what it says there in the last part of Hebrews 13:6. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is a quote that Paul gives, taken from those verses we read this morning in Deuteronomy 31:6, Deuteronomy 31:8, Joshua 1:5, and Joshua 1:9. It's a promise. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Turn to Philippians 4. I want to read another promise that was given unto the Apostle Paul, given to the Apostle Paul to write unto us. And there's a whole bunch of them in Paul's gospel. I'm just going to reference a couple of them. Philippians 4:19. You get discouraged or down or in a dark time, you have your own midnight hour. Go look at this one, Philippians 4:19, another promise. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. I told the Lord the other day in prayer, I want you to read with me this scripture. Because I got some things that need attention. And it says right here, and this is your word, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I'll just give you one example. I had this long old wart thing on my neck. And I said, Lord, I am not going to the doctor for this. And I cut it with my razor blade accidentally, and it bled, and I thought, well, maybe I should go to the doctor. And I said, no, I'm not. I said, put my hand on that thing, and I said, in Jesus' name, I'm asking you to heal this wart. I put a Band-Aid over it so it wouldn't bleed all over my shirt. And about 3 or 4 days went by, looked at it, and it was turned kind of black. And I thought, well, it's not bleeding anymore. And I was washing my face the other day. I thought, well, that thing just fell off. It's not there no more. I said, well, yeah, you know, I prayed about it. Man, we're slow sometimes on the uptake, aren't we? Yeah. My God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I believe the Lord answered your prayers too, huh, Sean, this week? Yeah. Yeah. And Romans 8, go there. And, you know, Romans 8, if you want to look at it and study it, it's a whole chapter of promises and its statements that we can claim by faith as promises that Paul wrote. But I want to highlight something that we're familiar with also, Romans 8, 38 and 39. Romans 8, 38 and 39 says, for I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise. That's a promise. That's one of our promises. And another promise, which I am fond of and have looked at, and it's in Philippians 2. And it's a statement, but it's a promise. It's in one of Paul's, a lot of Paul's Paulisms here. Philippians 2, 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Don't you suppose then that we ought to pray, not my will, but thine be done? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You know, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. That's an example of how the Lord prayed. But Lord, I got all these things I want for me that I, me, myself, and I focus so much on me that I can't focus on anything else. Right? That's how we are. I'm no different. And so we need to expand our vision. And it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Let him have his way. We sing that song. Let the Lord have his way. Do we mean it? No, we want to sing, Lord, I want you to have my way in my life, because believe me, I know a lot better than you do how to direct my steps. That's the way we think. And in Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, we found that it was Jesus who was the author and finisher of our faith. He is the one who ordained the steps we are to walk. He's the one who designed the race course that we're on and knows the obstacles. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows about those two baby woodpeckers that were hatched in my tree that we worried about, wonder what happened to them. And I seen them out there this morning chasing each other. Two of them, about big as my little finger, faster than lightning. They go all over the place and they end up back in the tree at night. He knows about it. It's a mystery to me how that all came about. And he takes care of them. And I don't think they're up there worrying about what they're going to do today, what they're going to eat today, where they're going to go today, and all these things that we worry about. They sing a nice song. In the spring, they peck all over the place and make all kinds of noise. But that's another thing. There's many, many, many verses of Scripture which are his unfailing promises to us. Now, how did this subject get going? Well, we were still studying in chapter 2 of Joshua, the story of Rahab, and we found two words in the Hebrew that are both found 33 times in Scripture, which we went over with this morning. And in Joshua 6:17 and 25, we find this word kabah, 22:44 in a Strong's Hebrew Concordance, 33 times in Scripture. And it is found in the phrase, she hid the messengers, which means she hid the ambassadors sent to her from God. That's the way she seen it. That's the way she received them. And those spies, as they're called in Joshua 2:1, poorly describes what they really were. Now, if an ambassador from God, which is a representative of God, if such an ambassador comes to you and makes a promise, then isn't it up to God to keep that promise? Yes, is the answer. And this is how the two spies were received by Rahab, as ambassadors from the God who cannot lie, as ambassadors from the God who cannot fail, as ambassadors from the God who cannot forsake, as ambassadors from the God who cannot be against us. If God be for us, who can be against us? Now, you may think or may say, well, wait a second. Rahab didn't count these two spies as ambassadors from God who made promises to her. But let's go back to Joshua 2:12. We find a different story there. Here's what she said in Joshua 2:12. Now, therefore, I pray you, she's having these two spies, swear unto me by the Lord, which is to say, now, therefore, I pray you make a solemn promise to me by the Lord. That's what she was saying. Now, perhaps later on, we'll consider more of the promises made unto her, but Hebrews 11:31 and Hebrews 11:33 indicates to us that Rahab was among those Old Testament worthies of faith who by faith obtained promises. Rahab obtained promises. And these promises were God's unfailing responsibility to keep. Romans 4:20, you're familiar with that, tells us that Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief. The same thing can be said of Rahab. The Lord knew her heart. She had a heart of faith. He's seen that. So, if you're familiar with the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and I hope you are, I'm going to read Hebrews 11:1, Hebrews 11:2, Hebrews 11:33, and Hebrews 11:34 together in one sentence or paragraph. And it says this: now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report, who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. In short, the short Cliff Notes version, Rahab became one of the Old Testament heroes of faith because by faith she believed the promises of God. turn to Psalms 2:12. And the word faith, as we've pointed out a few times in this Sunday school class and lessons long ago, the word faith is only found twice in the Old Testament. But the thought of faith is there all along. In Schofield, in his notes, in his comments on Psalms 2:12, states that the Old Testament word trust is the same as the New Testament word faith or believe. And in part of Psalms 2:12 reads, blessed are all they that put their trust in him. But we can read it like this with the same meaning. Blessed are all they that put their faith in him. Now, go to Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 2, verse 12. It's before 1 Samuel. Ruth, it's page 316 in your Strong's. Ruth 2, verse 12. And it says, this is a statement. It says, the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. That same word. And it could be read like, under whose wings thou art come to believe, or under whose wings thou hast faith. But the important part I want to get to is, who made this statement here in Ruth 2:12? It was Boaz. Well, who was Boaz's teacher of such truth and of such faith? Probably, impossibly, his mother. But who was Boaz's mother? You guys know, Rahab. Rahab? Yeah, Rahab. So, I hope you're beginning to see how it was that Rahab, who obtained promises, how it was that she was such a wonderful testimony of faith, and she is left to us as one of our examples to encourage our faith. Yeah, Rahab.